From the Stockyard in Brighton, this is the Boston College Football Show with Bill O'Brien, presented by Bud Light. For the next hour, we'll get you caught up on everything BC football. The Boston College Football Show is presented by Bud Light, proud sponsor of Boston College Athletics. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please enjoy responsibly. And also brought to you by McGovern Auto Group, the official auto group of Boston College Athletics. It's time to talk BC football. Here's John Meter Perrell.
You know, once upon a time ago, Pete Cronin, welcome to the BC Football Show here at the Stockyard in Brighton. Welcome to this sold-out crowd. It's SRO, as always, on a Thursday night.
You know it is.
I know. We are a popular show. It's like,
you know, I don't think we're the attraction, mate.
Well, we might be. What, with the steak tips? Is that where you're going?
Well, yeah, the other guy who's not here might have something to do with it.
maybe. But I was going to say, back in the day, you know, some people thought you looked and sounded like Steve Adazio.
I get that a lot in the airport.
You did?
Hey, Steve.
The question is, do you think you could do your best Bill O'Brien right now?
No, I haven't figured him out yet. No, that'd be a hard one to do. I need to be around him a little bit longer.
That's true.
I don't have any resemblance.
No, I'm not talking about resemblance.
I've been told we have similar personalities, though.
Yes.
It's called glib.
Both have a teapot. Yes.
I'm not a teapot guy, no. I drink out of the teapot. I don't have one.
But Bill O'Brien is expected to be here soon. He is running a little late with some other business, but we can dive into what we saw this week from BC football. And it was a prosperous week for the Eagles after beating Syracuse 37-31. And you and I remarked on the broadcast about a return to old-time football. Knock the opponent off the ball, get physical with them, something you've been preaching all year. Return to your roots up front, offensively and defensively. Both lines of scrimmage dominated the game, and that was a huge part of their success.
Well, you know, running the ball was something that Bill O'Brien talked about early in the season, getting back to what BC football was. He, of course, his close association to the program, his awareness getting back to it, and they kind of drifted away from it for a couple of weeks, and then they drifted back to it in a big way on Saturday. And you know, I think most of the fans were pretty impressed with the fact that, you know, they ran the ball very effectively, ran it right down Syracuse's throat. So let me ask the coach about that. What do you
hey
think?
Guys.
Look who just showed up.
Man, I'm sorry.
Do we have a fine system?
You know that Boston traffic when you're a rookie.
Oh, mamma mia. Tell me about it.
Do we have a fine system? Good question. I don't know.
Do we have a fine system?
25 bucks
might cost you.
$25. I'll buy you another Diet Coke.
You're the best, pal.
No, big spender.
Here, you can have my ID.
Even better. Oh, excellent.
Well, welcome to the show, Coach. Pete and I, we're saying, you know, it's a sold-out crowd. And, you know, clearly here to see us, but you're not bad either.
Awesome crowd. Thank you, guys. Absolutely. Thank you for being here. It's awesome.
Absolutely.
Thank you. It's awesome.
So we were just remarking momentarily about the ground game and how it was a renewed emphasis on upfront play, both offensively and defensively.
Yeah, I think you know, we put a big emphasis on it last week, and give credit to, you know, a lot of people, starting with the players right up front, from right to left. Ozzie Trapillo, Jack Conley, Drew Kendall, Logan Taylor, Jude Bowery, Dwayne Alec. The running backs, Kai Robichaud, Jordan McDonald, the tight ends had a really good game, Jeremiah Franklin and Kamari Morales, and I think the coaching staff did a good job. Will put together a really good game plan, and we knew we had to control, we had to try to control the tempo of the game, and it was good to be able to do that.
And part of that strategy was game of keep away, the ball control, get first down, grind them out. But I was talking to a few of the offensive linemen today, and by the way, I talked about the O-line all day Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the highlight and the way the defensive line played. We'll talk about that in a minute. But just they overwhelmed them. And I talked to Drew Kendall today, and I said it looked like they didn't want to play in the fourth quarter. He goes, yeah, they were warming the buses up. And I said, that's really good when you beat somebody into submission.
Yeah, I think that's you know, something that has to be our identity. You know, I think that, you know, like I said after the game, we're Boston College, and we have to be able to run the football. Look, in the end, I think as this program continues to develop, I think it'll be more balanced. But, you know, we felt like that was very important. They had a really explosive offense. They threw the ball very well in the game. But our defensive line held them to 39 yards rushing, right? Donovan Ezeraku, Q Hutchins, Neto Akpala had a hell of a job. Did a hell of a job as defensive ends. And then you got Horsley and Rooks and, you know, Stoudemire and McConnell and Tyus Clemons, you know, Quan Williams. They did a really good job on the inside. So I think both sides of the line of scrimmage, you know, really, they all got game balls because they all did a great job.
Yeah, we had a lot of game balls.
We did.
And they were all linemen. Yeah, as a matter of fact. Yeah. And the game's all about winning at the line of scrimmage.
No, it really
proves
is.
Proves it right there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, look, in the end, I do believe we're going to have to throw the ball better here at BC, but I do believe in that particular game, that was what was called for, and those guys did a great job.
It was another game where you talked to this word a lot, resilience. You showed the grit. You showed the resilience. You had the lead. You had to come back. It was a 1-2 punch game. They came back. You came back. And you had the final knockout punch. So that has to be something you're proud of.
Yeah, you know, I think we talk about this every single week with these guys, these players. It's about playing 60 minutes and, you know, you got to deal with adversity, you know. There's going to be something or many things that happen in the game that don't go your way. And so how do you deal with that? And I think that's something that we did a good job of on Saturday. We hadn't done a good job of that consistently all year. And I think we did a really good job of that on Saturday. And hopefully that is good foreshadowing for the future.
Now, there were a couple of wrinkles, but it was when you look at – you talk about the game within the game, the little things that have an impact. The thing that jumped at me after looking at the post game, there were several things, but one, penalties. Four for you guys. Two were past PIs that were
coverage.
But they were well covered.
Yeah, they were good calls, but I mean, we were in the right.
You were in the right place. They had 10.
Yeah, and four personal fouls for them. And I think that's a big thing, Pete. I appreciate you pointing that out because I pointed that out to the guys on Sunday. You know, that's what we have to continue to do. We can't be the personal foul team. You know, that's not what we are at BC, right? We're a disciplined outfit, and that's the way we are. That's the way we are. We have to be the team that, you know, plays smart and plays disciplined. When you play a lot of man coverage, which I told Tim, just so everybody knows, I said, Tim, I want a lot of man coverage in this game. I want to challenge these guys at the line of scrimmage. And McCord was a good player and is a good player, and they made some plays. And so, you know, Max Tucker, Ashton McShane, all those guys, they battled. And when you're in man coverage, in this day and age of college football, you're going to get called for DPIs. But, you know, we did a good job of staying away from the personal fouls, which is very important.
And the pressure that, the you know, you talk about sacks being a mysterious stat because there's a lot of factors that go into it.
Yeah.
Getting sacks and the pressures from the defensive line. Now, the scheme was as good as we've seen all season.
Yeah, they did a good job. They were finally very disciplined in their rush lanes. We did a good job of occupying the three inside guys, the center and both guards, you know, with those defensive tackles, and then letting, you know, Donovan and Q get after it off the edge. Neto Akpala, too, did a good job. I think that was a big key in the game, and I think that has to continue. That's another key in this game on Saturday is trying to, you know, do the best we can to keep Jennings in the pocket because when this guy scrambles, he makes a lot of plays.
He's a dynamic athlete.
Yeah.
Conversely, your backfield, you had a guy number 24. None of us knew who it was. We thought he was number 25. He ended up being number 24.
Hold on. There's not one thing that you don't know. Like, you know everything.
No. Pete.
You didn't know who.
We were scrambling. We were scrambling for 24. That was so-and-so with the ball. And then we found out afterwards it was Jordan McDonald.
You paused very professionally.
Yes, it was a pregnant pause. It was a pregnant pause.
Yes.
I know who Jordan McDonald is, but I didn't know he was 24.
I mean, you know every number 20 in any
in Boston sports history.
From
well, that's
Ted Williams on.
That's meaningless information. 24 Saturday was meaningful.
Yeah, no.
He was.
There's a difference.
Put him right up there with Dwight Evans now.
Yeah, but all kidding aside, I appreciate you asking this, Meter. You know, this is a big deal for us, right? Jordan McDonald is a guy that was on the scout team.
Yeah.
And he's a great student, and he's a tough guy. And he was on the scout team. And then during the bye weeks, the two bye weeks we had, he scrimmaged. And so we had 450-play scrimmages. So we had 200 plays of scrimmages. He was the running back most of the time. In the third scrimmage, he got concussed. And so he was hit very hard by a player named Zach Kelly, who's a very tough walk-on player. He knocked him pretty good. So he was out. And when he came back, I said, this guy, he's practicing well when he came back from the concussion. This guy's, he showed up. He's done what we've asked him to do. I want this guy in the game. He went out there and he did a good job. Now, he's got to continue it, but that's what the program's built on. If you perform on the practice field and you're doing right off the field and you're doing everything we ask you to do, you need to play. And Jordan McDonald is a great example of that.
Well, I know you weren't a big fan originally of the two open dates, but it looks like that second open date, you really capitalized on it.
Yeah, I think we didn't. Right, I get what you're saying. The first one we lost. But I do think the bye weeks in this type of a program that's kind of a new program relative to us being here as a new coaching staff, those two bye weeks have really helped us to again, emphasize what we're all about. To really give guys a chance to scrimmage that haven't played a whole lot, so we can kind of evaluate the roster in a scrimmage type of setting, which is very important for the coaching staff to be able to do. And I think both those bye weeks they've helped us a lot. Certainly the second bye week helped us when you look at the game and how we played, but both of them have really helped us a lot for the future of the program.
BC and SMU coming up Saturday in Dallas. We'll get into that game on the BC Football Show with Bill O'Brien. It continues from the Stockyard in Brighton right after this.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus, copyright 2024, Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, Eagles fans. Come and enjoy one of Metro West's hidden gems at Shining Rock Golf Club. Shining Rock is one of the premier public golf courses in New England. And now open our new 9-hole par 3 course, the Acorn. At only 867 yards, the Acorn provides a great opportunity to work on chipping and putting. Book your tee time by calling 508-234-0400 or visit their website at shiningrock.com. Go Eagles!
Calling all BC students and families searching for the perfect place to stay during your visit to Boston College? Look no further than Homewood Suites Needham. Our spacious suites offer all the comforts of home. Start your day with our complimentary hot breakfast. Stay connected with free Wi-Fi and enjoy complimentary parking. Our friendly staff is here to make your stay exceptional, and we're located just 5 miles from BC. Visit needhamboston.homewoodsuites by hilton.com to reserve your suite today. Homewood Suites, your home away from home near Boston College.
Hey, Doug Flutie here.
And I'm Flutie Foundation board member and autism advocate, Mike Palmer. Join our mission of helping people and families with autism live life to the fullest. From being part of an event like the Flutie 5K for Autism, hosting a fundraiser, donating or supporting our Stars of the Spectrum's career pursuits, your involvement directly helps the autism community. Go to FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Everybody that's been a part of our foundation, thank you all so much.
Go Eagles.
It's always the nights that end too quickly that leave memories that last a lifetime. Whether it's sharing a toast after work to celebrate being one day closer to the weekend, or hitting your lucky Keno numbers and celebrating with a dance you should be embarrassed to do in public. The games from the Mass State Lottery are the ideal complement to that unforgettable night. So let's celebrate the nights that connect us, because the ones we spend together are the ones we win together. The Mass State Lottery. Celebrate the night.
Life is full of choices. How to manage your time, your energy, and even your money. But what if you were given the chance to stop and get rewarded for the way you want to bank? That's the power of Evolve Rewards Checking from the Village Bank. Rewarding banking for the way you choose to live. Visit village-bank.com and evolve today. The Village Bank. Member FDIC. Member DIF.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter Perrell.
And welcome back to the BC Football Show. If it's Thursday night, it's the Stockyard in Brighton. What a spot. Love
it's a great spot. This is a great crowd. I know I say this every week, but I just really support the people, and especially this crowd of people that comes here, you know, on a Thursday night. And Colleen and I look forward to this, and it's awesome. And you know, we're working very hard to deliver to make you guys proud. But I really appreciate the support that everybody in this place gives us. Thank you very much.
You know, too, it's a lot of new faces we see every week.
Yeah, it's catching on, and you deserve some credit when you started this thing. You know, we look back at all the coaches that have been here at BC, and, you know, we've got some memories that are fond and others that maybe aren't as fond. But you referenced Jack Becknell in his style promoting the program.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you've picked up the torch here. You go out of your way to promote the program. It's reaping dividends.
Yeah, he's a very special coach to me, Pete. I really appreciate you saying that. When I grew up, he was the coach. And when I was a teenager and, you know, growing up north of Boston, he was the BC coach. And he was – you know, a guy that I remember my dad loved, Cowboy Jack, we loved, my family loved. And, you know, now it's kind of weird. Well, not weird, but it's very interesting in coaching, right? I'm good friends with his sons, you know, Jack and Bob. Bob's the tight end coach of the New England Patriots, and awesome guys that were great players at Boston College, Jack and Bob. And so it's an interesting deal, this thing we call life.
But Not bad, though.
Love Coach Becknell and everything he did for this program.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Lived in Holliston.
Yeah.
Was always a presence around town. I remember, like you, growing up, always following his career.
Cool memories. Remember the locker room interview after the Hail Mary pass? Remember, like, Channel 4, whoever it was, like, into the locker room right after that game? Remember
that? The late Bob Neumeier was in the end zone.
Unbelievable.
You remember that? He was doing a live on camera shot, and he literally, as the ball went in the air to Phelan, he was right there.
It's seared into your memory, those types of things, you know. Yeah. So that's when I remember.
Everybody knows where they were.
That's right.
That's right. It's pretty good stuff.
40th anniversary coming up. We'll be talking about that this
week.
All right, SMU on the docket Saturday. A team that's won 6 in a row.
Yep.
Very good team. Top 15 now. They're 14th in the country. Quarterback Grayson James will start. Big decision for you during the Syracuse game to put him in. He managed the game well, 5 for 6, threw a touchdown.
Yep.
What was your thought process?
You know, look, I think one of the things that I try to do, and, you know, I really, along with the coaching staff, really every decision we make, playing time, who's playing, who's not playing, recruiting, you know, operations, all the things, all the decisions we make, we always have to take into account the team, what's best for the team. And I felt that, you know, one of the best decisions that we could make for the team right now was to go with Grayson James. We went with him in the game. We talked on Sunday with both Tommy and Grayson, told him what we were doing. Tommy wasn't real thrilled about that. So Tommy's left, and we wish Tommy the best. We have nothing but good things and support for Tommy, good things to say and support for Tommy. But the best thing for the BC football program right now is to go with Grayson James. We're going to rally around Grayson. Grayson has earned it. He's been through a lot. He's transferred here from FIU. He was injured here earlier in late August into September. He almost missed, like, I would say almost 2 months, 6 weeks. And I said something wrong this morning, and I want to correct it. He did not have surgery, but he did have a rotator cuff labrum deal that he had to really work back from. And so he worked very hard. He came back. He's a very bright guy. He's a BC guy. He cares about the team. The team has a lot of respect for him, and we're going to go to battle with Grayson James.
Yeah, we noticed Saturday that there's a lot of reasons for it. When the change was made, there seemed to be a very different vibe on the field. Hey, Grayson's in the game. Hey, let's go. Or, wait a minute, that's the guy that's the backup. Maybe I got to pick my game up. Or maybe it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
No, but it was noticeable.
Yeah, I think you've probably been in these as a player. You've probably been in those situations before. You know, sometimes the backup goes in, and you know you got to up your game, whether you're on offense, defense, or special teams. And you know, I think those guys did that. They elevated their game. Grayson did a good job. Meter just said he was 5 of 6, and he's got an ability to get us out of a bad play, get us into the right play, to make the right checks, and he plays the game in a very poised manner. And I'm very proud of Grayson. Grayson and I have only known each other for less than a year, Grayson transferred in, and he got here in January. I got here in February. And but I feel really strongly about Grayson and what he's been through and how he's approached each and every day. And I'm looking forward to watching him play on Saturday.
I think I heard you say this morning on your guest appearance on WEI, the Greg Hill Show, you mentioned an interesting phrase. You must be honest. You must be transparent with your players.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be. I mean, I think there's no other way to do it. You can't. The players are smart. You know, the players are smart. And I think it was Jermaine Wiggins that asked me the question about Coach Parcells and Coach Belichick. And that's the one thing. Coach Belichick was very upfront, very direct. Yeah. This is how it is. This is what it is. This is the decision. And, you know, as a younger coach, you know, you learn a lot from the great coaches. And, you know, Coach Saban was very direct, very honest, very upfront with coaches and players. I think what I've learned over time, I used to talk to my dad about this, you know, there's no gray area in football.
Right.
There's no gray area. So there can't be any gray area when you talk to the player, right? This is what it is. This is the decision we're making. If you don't like it, I really feel bad about that. But at the end of the day, we got to do what's best for the team.
Now, over the last several years, there's an extra person in the room now. It's called social media.
Yeah.
And that must be – you've been in the game long enough to probably see the evolution of the and the role that that plays. It's got to make it tougher on coaches.
I mean, I don't know, Pete. I totally understand and agree with the question. But I think if you're running your program according to what's going on social media, it's probably not going to be a real successful program. That's my opinion. You have to run your program based on, you know, what you believe, what your vision is, and what the coach's vision is, and you have to teach everybody what the vision is and what the goals are, and this is how we're going to approach it, and this is the process that's in place. And then you have to try the best you can to make, you know, good, clear-minded decisions to help the football team. That's what you try to do.
But it's also a meritocracy. You don't get the opportunity to play unless, of course, you deliver.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, we just talked about Jordan McDonald. You know, people ask us in recruiting, you know, a lot of kids ask us, well, what about the depth chart? And I'm like, I don't worry about the depth chart. Ashton McShane, right? He's starting at corner. Omar Thornton's playing a lot at safety, right? Jordan McDonald. Those guys didn't worry about the depth chart. They just go out there and play, and I think that's what we're looking for. And, you know, the depth chart, there has to be a depth chart. But it's about what they do on the practice field, and then obviously when they get their chances in the games, you know, how do they produce?
And that's got to be a great advantage recruiting-wise, because when kids come on campus, they say there's a point when they go, "What's this guy like?" And they say, well, it happens every weekend. They're on campus, and if that's the message, you go work hard in practice, you're going to get a chance. That's a great sales job.
The key is you got to stick by that. Right. Each case is a little bit different, but you have to, if you're going to say that, you have to do that, because if you say it but you don't do it, then
they're going to tell a different
right.
story.
Exactly. Eventually the players are like, wait a minute, this guy's full of you know what, and that's really what you're trying to stay away from.
What are the next steps that James has to take in his maturation process?
Yeah, look, he played well in the Western Kentucky game. He came in relief. Now, you know, he started the Western Kentucky game. This is a big game. SMU's very good, very good team. You know, they're 8-1 for a reason, very well coached. He's from Dallas. I think he's just got to relax and play his game, play very poised, and be who he is. I think he'll – with what happens with guys like Grayson is the more reps they get, the more they play, you can see how they get better and better and better because they're very focused and they're very locked in. That's what he has to stay. He's got to just stay focused and locked in. You ain't going to win the game in one play.
Right.
Right? You got to do the best you can to get us into the right play to, you know, what I call like the old Hank Stram, right? Matriculate the ball down the field and end up in the end zone. That's what we're trying to do.
And that's what it looked like. That's kind of the role he's going to play. We don't know. Obviously, you've got a game plan. You're going to use him a certain way. But this is a type of situation where you want him to be first and foremost a game manager.
Right.
And then whatever comes in addition to that is not necessarily extra but expected. But you don't want it all at once. You'd love it all at once. But
yeah, you can't. You have to – right. We have to do a good job of calling the game in a way that takes into account that this is only at Boston College, this is only really his second start, right? And so, but I'll tell you, he's had a really good week of practice. He throws the ball very well. He understands coverage. He can throw the ball down the field. He's an accurate passer. you know, when he stands in the pocket and settles his feet and delivers the football, it's pretty good. So
but he's a commercial for getting ready every week. Though you may not take a snap, you get ready every week. You know, you take almost a professional approach to the role he was playing.
Yeah, that's a great point. He is a guy that prepared as a starter so that if his opportunity ever came up, he was going to be ready to go. And I remember on Saturday, this is one thing that I'll never forget, no matter what happens, is when I made the decision, you know, Tommy could have gone back in the game. I just said, look, we're going to stay with Grayson. I told Tommy, we're going to stick with Grayson here. I went to Grayson, look at your game. We're going to stay with you. And he was like, got it, coach. Like, there was no, like, you know, the wide-eyed look, the lips turn blue. I've seen that before. Hey, man, you're in now. And the eyeballs go like this and the lips turn blue. You're looking for the EMT.
Get some oxygen over here.
And then you're like, turning to the quarterback coach. And you're like, that happened in Houston a couple of times. I'd be like, hey, you're in now. And the guy would be like, what? I'd be like,
I want the clipboard.
Ready to go or what?
I got the clipboard. No.
Grayson's the opposite of that. He was ready to go, and he was excited for the opportunity.
Now, the way the season has evolved, you've probably been in the back of your mind, you're thinking, if we do have to make a change, when's it appropriate? You know, that was the event.
Yeah, I think too. Like part of that is what I was saying before is, you know, in late August and in September, he was out for about 6 weeks. You know, there was about 6 weeks there where he was not early in the season, not ready to go. And then it took him, even when he came back, you know, he hadn't been able to throw. And so, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, played into it. But, you know, like I said, he took advantage of his opportunity on Saturday, and we're excited for him.
And we'll talk more about that and much more on the BC Challenge at Dallas coming up after this of the BC Football Show. After this from our good friends at Bud Light.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus, copyright 2024, Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, this is Paul Sullivan. Vehicle maintenance may be the last thing on your mind, but cars do need regular checkups. Come into any Sullivan Tire and our experts will let you know what looks okay or what may need attention. You decide what fits within your budget. Get the peace of mind that you deserve at a price you can afford.
Thanks, Paul. Make an appointment online by visiting SullivanTire.com. And go BC Eagles!
A new era of BC football is here, led by first-year head coach Bill O'Brien. Catch the action this fall with tickets starting as low as $10 for select games. Group tickets are also available, providing exclusive experiences, including on-field access for your youth team or organization. Don't miss your chance to be part of the excitement on the Heights. Secure your seats to see Bill O'Brien and the Eagles by visiting bceagles.com. Check out Traxxas, the fastest name in radio control. They have high-performance RC cars and trucks for the whole family. Traxxas is the leader in hobby class radio control fun. They even have waterproof electronics to keep the fun going year-round. Learn more about Traxxas at TRAXXAS.com and use their store locator to find a Traxxas dealer near you. Traxxas, the fastest name in radio control.
Hi, Tom Coughlin here. Can you imagine getting the news that your child has cancer? Each year, more than 15,000 kids across the U.S. are diagnosed with this disease. The Tom Coughlin J Fund's goal is to be there for these families so they can be there for their sick child. We offer assistance with household bills, financial coaching, and emotional support. We hope you will join us helping these families. We need you on our team. Give now at tcjfund.org.
Since 1970, the campus school at Boston College has been educating students ages 3 to 22 with extensive support needs, including complex medical challenges. Located on the BC main campus, our dedicated team of teachers, therapists, nurses, and volunteers work together to realize the potential of each student. You can help make a difference. Your support directly funds the technology, equipment, and materials our students deserve. Learn more at bc.edu/campus school.
This This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter Burrell.
Second down and five from the 14. James to the shotgun. Hands it off Robichaud with a hold to the 10 to the 5. End zone. Touchdown. Kai Robichaud is the Eagle in the end zone. And Boston College is 1 point away from tying it up. Do I even have to ask?
Don't bother.
Take a bow, Kai Robichaud.
Asking.
No, I ask you all the time. I know what the answer is going to be. Don't bother. Take a bow. Coach had you taking a bow at the end of the game.
Mutrin.
Couple of bows. I mean, I saw Ezeraku take a bow.
I think that's in honor of you. Or you, I mean.
Yes. They like the call. They like the call.
I know. I usually think you're talking to him, so.
I'm confused.
I call.
Ezeraku was honoring you.
I should give you a little history. Zay Flowers took a bow and got a 15 or personal foul.
Yes. So maybe you want. I heard about that.
You might want to coach your guys not to take a bow.
Nah, they won't call that. If you shoot a gun or do something like that, they'll call that. But you can take a bow now.
Who got guns in the field?
If you do this.
Oh, that guy.
That might not be looked upon.
That would not be good.
But that was one of the many highlights for Kai Robichaud in a 198-yard game. Before we get into Kai, Friends of the Heights is BC's official name, image, and likeness collective, serving 120 athletes on 9 teams and growing. Friends of the Heights prepares BC athletes to serve our community and to improve their brand, all while helping our team succeed. Giving to Friends of the Heights directly impacts our team successes on the field, court, ice, and track. You can help our students and help our teams. Help BC, for that matter. For more information, please visit friendsoftheheights.com. We know how important they are to the success of BC athletics, Bill.
Yeah, and we have Tom Devitt here tonight, who does an awesome job for us with Friends of the Heights.
Yes, he does.
Friends of the Heights has been awesome to me since the minute I stepped foot on campus. You call Tom, he picks up right away. We talk all the time, and so very supportive. And all the people that support Friends of the Heights, words really can't express the gratitude. It's just thank you very much for everything you do, because it's necessary. It's necessary for what we're trying to do at BC. So thank you very much.
Yeah, in today's game, fortunate, unfortunate, or otherwise, if you don't have an entity like Friends of the Heights, you're going to struggle.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons, in my opinion, that there's so much parity in college football is because these collectives are very competitive.
Yeah.
And so your collective has to be competitive, and our collective is very, very competitive with all of them. And so, it's a big deal, and we really appreciate it.
Kai Robichaud, ACC Running Back of the Week. You got a couple honors coming your way this week. One was Robichaud, and I told you on our podcast, I saw A.J. Dillon before the game.
Yeah.
And I had some visions of A.J. Dillon runs when I watched Robichaud run.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Yeah, Kai's a very tough, very strong runner, breaks tackles, takes care of the ball, does a good job in pass protection, does a good job in the passing game out of the backfield. Kai's an excellent player, transferred here from Western Kentucky, and I'm sure glad he did. He's done a great job for us, and he's a really good BC in the pantheon of BC running backs. He's definitely in that conversation. He did a great job the other day.
You had a highlight shot with him. It was you're just running inside zone, and everybody went hat on hat, and everybody was occupied. And the safety from where we were sitting, the safety was kind of blocked up, but there was a void.
Yeah,
and I said, the safety sees the void and the back sees the void, but they don't see each other.
Right, right.
So you go to the void. So if you're the safety, you get ready to lower the boom.
Yeah.
Well, he was the back lowered the boom.
Yeah, that's what Kai does. I mean, Kai
ran the poor kid
right
over.
Yeah, Kai. We used to call it in New England. Mike Vrabel used to say this all the time: no fair dodging. Kai's a no fair dodging player. He's not going to really sidestep anybody. He's going to go through you, and that's really what made him really successful on Saturday. Is he went through guys, and he was able to break a lot of tackles.
And the skill of the ability to deliver a blow or receive a blow and maintain his balance, pick up 6 or 7 or 8 more yards. That's powerful.
Yeah, and he's another guy. Yeah, he's got great balance. He's got an ability to stumble bum. so when he can put the palm on the ground and still keep his feet. And he's playing hurt. You know, he's a guy that's been banged up all year but keeps coming back. And, you know, he's a tough guy, and we're very proud of Kai.
SMU's offense gets a lot of publicity, as well they should, because they're explosive.
Yeah.
But the defense, I know as you study them, they force turnovers.
Yeah.
And they're very athletic. What do you have to do to combat that?
Yeah, they're good. Look, we've got to do what we do, right? We have to be who we are, but they're very good. They're good up front. Their defensive ends are very, very good. Their coverage scheme is very it's multiple, right? They do a lot coverage-wise. You know, Grayson's going to have to make post-snap reads because they do a good job of disguising. They have a good pressure game. They have every pressure known to man. So it's going to be a big challenge for us. But, again, it's one of those games. I mean, you know, if you're playing in this game, I told the team on, Tuesday, I said, look, this is what it's all about, right? This is SMU. They're 13th in the country. Arguably, they should be in the top 12 being a playoff right now. And it's a 2:30 Central Time ESPN National TV game. Like, this is the one that makes your blood, pump a little bit faster. So I think these guys are ready and they're excited for it. And we've got to go out and play our game. It's going to be very, very challenging, but we're looking forward to it.
Well, this is like the Clemson game where in the old model where you got them every year and they are always competing for the national championship. And you got to go to their place and spike and get your best effort and a legitimate chance to beat them. These guys are now they've kind of supplanted. Clemson's not on the schedule. SMU's on the schedule, and they're a top 15 team.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, they've done a good job. They've won close games. You know, they beat Duke. It was an unbelievable game. You know, I've shown that game all week to our team. I mean, it was a back and forth game. They beat Duke in overtime. They lost to BYU. BYU's a very tough football team, an undefeated team. That was an 18-15 game, very tough game. They beat Louisville. I think it was 34-27. They've been in a decent amount of close games.
Yeah.
So they're definitely a 60-minute team, and Coach Lashley's done a great job with them. And so, like I said, it's a big challenge for us, but we're excited about it.
We saw the quarterback Jennings in the Fenway Bowl last year. Looked like he was an athlete, and now he's gotten better.
Yeah.
Running a little bit more this year. Is that part of his game?
I mean, he does it all. I mean, he stands in a pocket and delivers the ball. He definitely can run. He's athletic, but he's a quarterback. I mean, he's thrown some really nice passes, and he's a challenge. I mean, the back and him, they've got good receivers up front. They're good. They got good tight end. I mean, they're definitely a high-powered offense, no doubt about it. But going back to the Fenway Bowl, we've been watching that a little bit. But how about how they set up Fenway for that game?
Oh God,
that was a little.
The same sideline deal,
man.
Yeah, it's a baseball stadium thing.
They have that bowl. Is that bowl every week? Are they gonna have that bowl every year?
Every year,
sure.
Man, how about that?
Notre Dame's played a couple.
That's
of games
amazing
there.
That the Red Sox made. They said, okay, we're gonna put a football field on.
Yeah.
On the greatest baseball field in the history of baseball.
That's all multi. They were original multi-purpose facilities. They had circus there and
really.
Oh, they have ski jumping and all kinds
of
crazy
stuff. Played there back in the day.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's not first time they've done entertained college football.
It's a weird setup. I think with the Western's playing at Wrigley Field this week.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a weird,
so
quirky setup.
You remember I told you that, I don't know if I told you guys this, when I was at Georgia Tech, we played in the Seattle Bowl and we played at Safeco Field. We played Stanford. We were on the same sideline.
That's right.
And we drove down and we scored the winning touchdown, and Tyrone Willingham was the head coach at Stanford.
Yeah.
He was standing from like me to where he is, you know, 10 feet away, and he looked over at me and goes, hey, good call.
Good
job. I was like,
thanks.
Thanks,
Ty. Thank you, sir. Yeah, there you go.
You might have been cutting your huddle for a second.
And then he went on to be the Notre Dame coach right after that game.
Yeah, that was
that's a story for another time.
But that's
you told it on the podcast.
Yeah, that's an interesting setup, especially when you're 4 miles away at Boston College, and you're playing. You get the dressing room is here.
Yeah.
You get on the bus and you drive down. It's like an old high school setup.
Oh, yeah.
You drive to the stadium, you walk off, you go down the field and you play.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, it's a different experience.
Yeah.
But last year was a little bit maybe a miss. It was maybe a misleading experience because it was sleety, it was cold, it was windy, and
It was a bowl game in Boston.
Exactly.
What was the date of it?
In December.
What did you think? It was going to be balmy?
No, but they did. So, they were...
Well, the day before was nice.
They were freezing. They wanted to get on the bus.
How nice was it the day before?
Yeah, perfect. It was like 45. It was perfect.
It was 45 instead of 35.
Yeah. They wanted no part of Fenway Park.
This guy wanted the window closed.
Well, of course. A man of my advanced age, I need to be warm.
Get him a sweatshirt.
And I believe I complied after I didn't. I almost killed him in New York when we had the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah.
And the window was open, and he got an illness after that.
Meter can be cruel.
He blames it on me.
Just like dealing with him on this podcast. He could be a mean guy.
Yeah, he's got a mean streak in him.
What do you mean by that?
He gets sensitive to
it. Look at him. Look at him defending himself. A guy, that's his look of guilt if I've ever seen it.
Clearly. Cat got the canary right here. All right. Skill of SMU. I've heard about it all week. Is it legit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, they're good. They're good. They got a lot of speed. Receivers can run. The running back can run.
Yeah.
Tackling will be huge.
Yeah.
Tackling will be a big part of the game. Our ability to break tackles and our ability to tackle will be a huge part of this game. You know, and that's really the case every week. But this is definitely a team that, you know, if the ball gets out there in space and you miss a tackle, you're going to have a hard time getting them down.
Yeah, I got some great stats for you. Last week, 330 yards in the air. 240 of them were yards after catch. And their nine receivers have catches of 33, 39, 42, 45, 49, 51, 80, 81, and 87.
I mean, like listening to you two guys, I don't even know why we're going.
Mail it in.
Mail it in. SMU, you got it. Pete and Meter don't even think we should show up.
Holy
smokes. Like, all right. Yeah. So we got to tackle, Pete.
Well, that's my point.
We're going to show up and we're going to tackle.
Yeah, and you've done a great job of correcting that little issue.
No, they did a good job in the Syracuse game. I thought we did a better job of tackling. They threw for yards. I'm not saying that, but we did do a good job of tackling, which is what we had to do. And that's going to be huge in this game because you're exactly right. You know, when you look at the stats, whether it's the running back, the quarterback, the running back averages almost 4 yards after first contact. The quarterback averages almost 3 yards after first contact. I mean, that's pretty impressive for that position to be able to do that. So tackling is going to be a big, big part of the game.
And your improvement in defensive line play, certainly noticed it last week. Is that just evolving? Does he do something different this week, or you kind of stick to your guns and just be disciplined?
I think we play more guys. We play a lot of guys. I think that's what we have to do. Horsley's the main guy, right? Horsley's had a good season. But, you know, Horsley's played a lot of football, so he's banged up. So I tell Tim, let's rotate him in there. Get him all in there. So, you know, you see 6-7 guys playing in there. I think that's a good thing for us. They're hungry. They want to play. You know, I tell these coaches all the time, look, man, these kids, they practice very hard. There hasn't been one time all year where I've said, you know what, that was a lot of guys loafed in practice. I haven't said that one time. If these guys are going to give it to us like that on the practice field, you need to get them in the game. So you'll see a lot of guys playing, and I think that's helped us up front. You know, Donovan needs to be in the game. Q needs to be in the game quite a bit. But Neto is now the third guy. And when he gets in there, he's fresh and he makes a lot of plays. And so I think that's helped us a lot.
Donovan has a rock. Walter Camp semifinalist, which means he's one of the top 16 players in the country.
Yep.
He's hopefully will get a good shot there, hopefully be the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Every week he seems like his motor is even higher.
Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, he comes up big in clutch moments. He's a relentless player. He's a very instinctive player. He's a guy that understands what's going on. He studies. He studies a lot, you know, how these offensive tackles are blocking him. He has a plan in the pass rush game. He plays the run very well. He's fast. He's got good he's got everything you're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
I wish we had him for more than – you know, this year, this is it for him. But he's awesome.
He does a lot. The sack numbers are staggering. You know, he's an elite sacker, but he does all these other things. He forces fumbles, recovers fumbles, safety. You know, you get to learn that he's playing soccer, but he was very disappointed.
He was so mad.
He could get to find the handle, but take the two. You know, anytime.
Yeah,
but
no, he does. He does a lot. You're exactly right. He's good in the running game. He's very instinctive, so he understands. He studies. He's definitely has a pro mentality. He knows the, you know, the type of stance that the guy's in, so he's going to read that and know that it's a run or it's a pass. And, you know, he understands the run schemes and what they're trying to do to him. And, you know, sometimes he gets chipped, and he knows how to defeat the chipper, and, you know, in the pass rush game. So he's a great player.
And that's going to rub off on other people.
Yeah, because you can – it's exactly right. You can go into the, you know, the team meeting, and, you know, like I show a lot of film. And so, you know, you got a kid like Jason Flint, who's a freshman, who's going to be a great player for us. Nobody's ever heard of him yet, but you will. And so you can say, hey, Jason, see what's happening here? This is what he's thinking, and this is why he's doing that. So you got it on film, and they're watching their teammate do that. That means a lot to the young players.
It's always fun to see the left tackle on skates, too.
No question. Opening that gate.
Yes. Opening the gate. Here he comes.
You got another guy, too, emerging in Quintavious Hutchins, yeah. Who, to me, looks like a pro.
Yeah,
the way
yeah.
he's playing right now.
Yeah, he's playing great. He's gotten better and better. He had a great game the other day. Very impactful player. Same type of qualities, right? Very strong, chases the ball, very instinctive. Doesn't have all the experience that Donovan has, but is doing a lot and, you know, very impactful player on the game.
Yeah, that's certainly an impact on both ends there. BC and SMU coming up. We'll get coaches' keys to the game and much more as the BC Football Show from the Stockyard continues right after this.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light. Easy to drink. Easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus. Copyright 2024 Anheuser-Busch. Bud Light Beer. St. Louis, Missouri.
At Mass General Brigham, we're one against cancer. We're building a world-class center of cancer care with the most cancer surgeries and specialists in the region. With new collaborations, approaches, and treatments, like the only precision proton therapy treatment in New England. We're there with patients for every twist and turn. There's only one, Mass General Brigham. To learn more, visit massgeneralbrigham.org/cancer.
Looking to make waves with a radio ad or public presentation? Need to polish your public speaking skills? At Movi Productions, we specialize in crafting compelling audio and coaching talent. Our beautiful, state-of-the-art Studio G by the Sea offers the perfect creative environment for recording audio and video. From script to sound, from idea to imagery, Movi Productions can make it happen. Discover an ocean of success at moviproductions.com.
Boston College 1992 alum Matt McGovern is the proud owner of the McGovern Auto Group, Boston's fastest growing family of car dealerships. Matt is proud to serve BC, its students, alumni, and their families. With 26 dealerships across the Boston Metro and over 7,000 cars to choose from, don't settle for a new vehicle from just anyone. Join your fellow Eagles, Matt McGovern, Mark Walker, and Tom Kilgariff at McGovern Auto Group. Visit them online, McGovernAuto.com, and go Eagles!
Friends of the Heights is Boston College's official name, image, and likeness collective, serving 120 athletes on 9 teams and growing. Friends of the Heights prepares BC athletes to serve our community and to improve their brand, all while helping our team succeed. Giving to Friends of the Heights directly impacts our team's successes on the field, court, ice, and track. Help our students. Help our teams. Help Boston College. For more information, please visit friendsoftheheights.com.
Life is full of choices. How to manage your time, your energy, and even your money. But what if you were given the chance to stop and get rewarded for the way you want to bank? That's the power of Evolve Rewards Checking from the Village Bank. Rewarding banking for the way you choose to live. Visit village-bank.com and evolve today. The Village Bank. Member FDIC. Member DIF.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter Perrell.
First down from the 13. Out of the pistol again. McDonald, east-west, to the 10, to the 5, end zone, touchdown, Jordan McDonald, welcome to Chestnut Hill. What a coming out party
for the Central Florida transfer. Can I say it?
Go ahead.
Take a bow, Jordan McDonald. You are a sensation.
How about that? A sensation. Not bad. Not too shabby.
He came his own up. Horn.
Of course I am. Someone has to.
Yeah, well, you're excited.
Someone has to. Hopefully there's more of that coming up Saturday.
No question.
On the hilltop, as they say, in Dallas. And
yep.
We talked on the podcast the last time. We have fond memories of Dallas in that 84 Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
And Doug Flutie's final game.
Yep.
And they smoked Houston. It was coached by Bill Yeoman, a guy you know.
Yep. Well, I don't know him.
Oh, I thought you knew him.
No, I mean, he's...
Oh, he's like a...
He's like Pete's age.
I'm 55.
He's an influence, okay. A guy that was...
He was.
Well, yeah, you knew who he was. But and it's amazing, coming up next week, it's 40 years since Flutie in Miami.
Isn't that... That's unbelievable.
There's a little statistic in there. The fan base went to Houston. It was the largest exodus of people from Boston since World War II.
Really?
People exiting, going to war. They were going to another war to watch. But no, yeah.
That's awesome.
That was a great little – that's kind of stuck in my head. I said,
yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But the fans showed up for that one.
Yeah, they did. That was awesome, man. What a great – like we talked about earlier, just what a year that was and the memories. And, you know, I think I was 15 years old, and I was a freshman at St. John's Prep. And I went to high school with Mike Bardwell. And Mark Bardwell was the right guard for Flutie from Methuen, Mass. And I went to high school with Mike. We were close friends. He was our class president when I was a senior at St. John's Prep, one of the funniest guys ever. So we, you know, that was just a cool thing because we all experienced that together, him going to the games, and then he would come back and tell us about the games. And it was just a great year for BC.
Certainly was. And, all right, SMU, BC, what are your keys to the game?
I think, you know, starting with special teams, we got to do a great job of controlling this the returners, right? So 13, the punt returner, is really good. And then number one, the kickoff return guy, is very, very good. So we got to do a great job of that. They are a great punt block unit. So we have to do a great job when we punt. We have to do a great job of protection because that's going to be big in the game. I think offensively, we've got to be who we are, right? We've got to make sure that we're staying on schedule. We can't be in a lot of third and longs. Their defensive ends are very good. We got to be on third and manageables, and we got to, you know, move the chains, and we got to score. And we got to possess the ball, so that's going to be big. And then defensively, we got to tackle well. We have to do a really good job of trying to keep Jennings in the pocket, and we got to do a good job of stopping a run, number one. And that, you know, like I said, that comes down to tackling too. So, you know, we got a big challenge. You know, nobody thinks we're going to win except for the people in this room. I think. I mean, most of them do, maybe. But
they all do.
But we'll, I'm kidding. But we'll show up. Our guys are ready, and they'll show up, and they'll be ready to play.
We haven't talked about the punting for you guys.
Oh my God, Meter.
Liam Connor. No, Liam Connor was terrific. I want to give him a tip of the cap.
No. I'm kidding. No, he was great.
He was awesome.
Yeah, Leominster, Mass. Awesome guy. Did a really good job in the game, and he'll do that for us again on Saturday. Double duty, right? He'll punt and kick.
Well, going down there, and what I can glean from watching the tapes that I've seen, these guys, they're not fancy on defense. They line up and they say, okay, bring it on.
And, it's SMU.
And that kind of fits in with what Boston College is trying to do. Is like, yo, you want us? Yeah, here we come.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, they're very well coached. They're a well coached defense, so they don't have to do anything but line up and tell you, like, here we are, you know, try to move the ball on us. That's why they're 8-1. You know, they're 8-1 because they do a great job of playing complimentary football. For the most part, they've done a good job of staying on schedule on offense, and they've done a good job of stopping a run and putting teams off schedule on defense. So it's, you know, like I said, it's going to be a big, big part of the challenge.
They played Pitt a couple weeks ago. Pat Narduzzi said after that game he thinks the ACC is the best conference in the country because any team can beat any team. Do you agree with that?
I think the ACC is a great conference. I will say this. To say that the ACC is better than the SEC, that would be hard for me to say. I would just tell you, though, that the ACC should not be a little brother to anybody. I think that the ACC is very evenly matched, and, there's great coaches, great players in this league. And, when you look at the Big Ten, and, I'm not going to name names, but, you got, some of these teams in the bottom half of the league. I think we have a winning record against the Big Ten. We've got a winning record against the Big 12. You know, we've got more games left against the SEC to see if maybe we could still have a winning record against the SEC. So the ACC is a great conference. I don't really understand how that all came about, that all of a sudden the ACC was just third, but I think they're all pretty even, to be honest with you. I wouldn't say that, I love Pat. Pat's a great guy, and, I've known Pat for a long time. When he was at Rhode Island, I was at Brown, known him for a long time. But I think everybody's even. I really believe that. I think that anybody can beat anybody.
It's hard to argue that.
That's really what it is. I just really believe that.
Wouldn't that suggest strength?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think that when you look at – but I'm saying across the country, Pete. I'm not saying
– Now, yes, absolutely.
I think, we're playing a great SMU team. Like Clemson played Georgia at the beginning of the season, right? Everybody would say that Georgia's a good team. Georgia beat Clemson pretty good, but if that game was played now, what would that look like? I don't know. You know what I mean? So, I just think there's a lot of parity across the country because college football is different now. It's not the same. It's different with the portal and NIL and all the things that go on, and it's made for a very interesting game and a very exciting game for the fans.
So you're telling me we got a chance?
Yeah, we got a chance. Hell yeah!
What is this, Dumb and Dumber?
Hell yeah, we got a chance.
Absolutely, we have a chance.
Yeah, we're right there, man. We're right there. We got to continue to work and recruit and teach our guys what it's all about to be a BC football player. But look, we've got our place in college football, and we're very proud of our place in college football. And we're on the right track.
I'd argue the product in college football is better than the pros now. On a weekly basis, in terms of entertainment value.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think when you watch some of the NFL games, they are brutal.
Awful.
And, you watch college football, it's very exciting. The fans, the spirit, the emotion of the game. Yeah, I totally agree with
that. See the whiteout last week. Whiteout. Yeah, Penn State with 111,000.
Yeah.
How do you not get energized by that? You
feel the ground shake in the whiteout now.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
The crown shakes.
Well, we're going to have a great experience down in Dallas, new stadium. Never been there, but I understand it's quite a place, great destination. It's a lot like Boston College, they tell me. It's the campus environment. They do a really nice job of matching up all the flagstone and all the buildings look alike. And
yeah.
In the stadium's on campus, which is a nice touch.
Yep.
So a good reason to go down there and come away with a W.
You might see a president in the house, too.
Really?
George W.
Okay.
Yeah, he's. I know he goes to a lot of basketball games. I think he's been to a few football games, so that could be interesting too. Okay. Maybe Cronin and George halftime. W. At halftime.
If you see him, ask him if he wants to be on our podcast.
Oh, I definitely will. No doubt about that.
He doesn't have to come to Boston.
I'm glad to Zoom with the president. Happy to do that. But Bill O'Brien, good luck on Saturday. We'll be there and looking forward to it. It's going to be a heck of a game.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
He's Bill O'Brien. He's Pete Cronin. I'm John Meter Perrell. Reminder to join us on Saturday at 3:00 on Sports Radio WEEI 93.7. Special thanks to Justin Turpin, Griffin Ward back in the studio. Have a great week, everybody. Good night from the Stockyard in Brighton.
You've been listening to the Boston College Football Show presented by Bud Light. Join us on Thursday nights throughout the season from the Stockyard in Brighton. The Boston College Football Show has been sponsored by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please enjoy responsibly. Empower. Take control of your financial future to empower what's next. Mass General Brigham, the official medical provider of Boston College Athletics. McGovern Auto Group, the official auto group of Boston College Athletics. Rodenheiser, trusted plumbing, heating, AC, and electrical experts for over 90 years. The proceeding has been a Van Wagner presentation of the Boston College Athletics Sponsorships Radio Network.